Amen. How many of y'all are determined to live for the King? Amen. Glory to God. Well, y'all going to hear that song till you get sick of it. I want it to come up in your head in the middle of the night, wake up in the morning and say, I am determined to be invincible. Come on now. Praise God. Because you are invincible as long as the power of God's on the inside of you. Amen. Okay, well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of Isaiah 66 this morning. We're going to start there. I'm going to continue on this message on prayer. Now, how many of you in here this morning, you haven't been with us the last couple of services and you did not receive a praying the word book? You don't have one? Raise your hand. Lift your hands up there. We got some here, ushers. There's a few here. These are our gifts to you this year. I'm going to be teaching. I keep saying I'm going to be teaching from this book, but I'm not really. I'm all over the place. Everybody get one? Okay. Already hearing good testimonies about this book. People are reading it and it's stirring them up, and that's what it's all about. It's getting the Word of God out to get people stirred up to pray. Amen? Okay, Isaiah 66, verse 1. It says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one, I will look on him who's of a poor and a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Now, when it says poor and contrite spirit, it doesn't mean lack of finances. It means somebody who's humble enough to bow their knee to Jesus. Amen? To say, Jesus, you're King, not me. You're Lord, not me. You the man, not me. Right? And he says, and a person that trembles at God's word, in other words, you have this unbelievable revelation on the inside of you that when you look at God's word, it's what is the foundation of your life. Hello? Listen to me. If you want to know what to do in life, do what the word says. All right? If you want to know what to do in life, do what the word says. You cannot go wrong. Hello? If the word says to do it, do it. If your Bible says to do it, do it. If it doesn't say to do it, then don't do it. And you know what? You're going to end up in life the right place, the right time. Hello? It's really simple. But, you know, we make it difficult sometimes. Now go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I want to start off on this morning. I'm excited to preach this message this morning. Because I really believe if you can just hear what I got to say today. What the Spirit of God's saying through me, if you just grab hold of it, it will change your life. If you learn to pray the Word of God, it will change your life. If not, you're going to stay wondering and floating around. And so anyway, this morning's title of this message is Dominion and Prayer. And you need to understand what dominion is. So here we go, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. All the way to the front of the book. Then God said, everybody say, God said. You know, it's a good thing when God says something. Right? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You have dominion over the creeps. Hello? So God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and he blessed them. Everybody say, God bless me. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Everybody say, have dominion. Everybody say, God gave me dominion. Come on, say it again. God gave me dominion. Say it like you mean it. God gave me dominion. Woo! He says, and God gave me dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb of the field that yields seed, and the, all over the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed shall be for you for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth. Got to see that dominion over the creeps, in which there is life. And I have given you every herb for da, da, da. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Now, let me ask you something. If a police officer stops you for speeding, heaven forbid, but he does, and he comes up to your window and, you know, tells you to roll down the window, and he's standing there in his uniform, you know, he's got his badge, his gun, his uniform, his car, everything, you know, whatever agency's with, stops you. The dominion he has at that moment, it's not his dominion. Listen to me. It's not that man's personal dominion. The only reason he has any authority at that moment is because of the agency that has employed him and licensed him and put him into that position. And what gives him the authority is the badge of the agency that he works with. Are y'all with me? The gun really doesn't give him the authority. May give him the upper hand, but it doesn't give him the authority. Because we don't live in a society where you can, you know, bully somebody you're not supposed to, right? So it's not the gun, it's the badge. Y'all with me? It's the badge of the agency that he works for that has empowered him to do a job. And so therefore, if you have broken the law, he has the right to enforce the law. Y'all with me? Follow me? But as a person, his personal self, he doesn't have any authority. It's the badge that gives him the authority. Christians are walking around in life not realizing the authority and the dominion that God Almighty has given you through the blood of Jesus Christ, from you being a child of God, for you being saved. Not walking and understanding the dominion that God has placed upon you, because when he created you in the garden, immediately he wanted man in charge of the earth. You can see it. It's what it says. He wanted you to have dominion, and then he wanted you to subdue it. Y'all following me? He wanted you to subdue this earth and bring it under his authority and his rule, and you were his enforcer. So he set it up. Let me show you another scripture here. Go to the New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. He says, for God has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Now, who's he talking about here? He's talking about you. He's talking about man. God's creation that he created him in. What is man that you are mindful of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have not crowned, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace of God might taste death for everyone. Scripture says that God plainly set man in authority on the face of this earth. To have authority, to have dominion, and to make everything become subject to it and absolutely underneath the feet of man. Are y'all with me? Now we're going to take a little side trip here and then get back over here. I don't understand today when Christians can take a passive approach at the things going on in the world today, when we can say, oh, well, yes, you know, I guess we take the Ten Commandments down. We don't need to have that up, and we can quit this, and we keep giving compromise to the things that we know and that we believe to be true. When God called Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, to have dominion. Now, in this world, listen to me, folks, and you just got to accept this as a hard fact. In this world, you cannot walk in your dominion and your authority unless you're willing to stand against everything that's wrong against it or comes against it. We can't just keep backing up in life, trying to give more space to the devil and more space to the ways of the world and more space to worldly things and just keep giving more space and giving more space and saying, well, okay, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do. It's time for Christians to stand up and say, no. I tell you, going down that road and that path is not going to lead you to victory. It's time to stand up and take a stand and say, no, listen, I love you and I want to see victory in your life. I want to see freedom. I want to see liberty. And no, you go down that road, it is not going to be good for you. It's like, I'll use Bob as an example over there, a cocaine addict. He can stand right up into the face of any person that's going to do cocaine and say, don't do it. I've been down that road. It leads to horrible, terrible things. Don't go down that road. Now, is that love? Is that really love? Yes. To stand back and say, well, you know, we want to be politically correct and we don't really want to, you know, hurt their feelings. And, you know, I guess we'll just pray for you from over here, brother. Go on down that road, snort cocaine, do a few lines, see what happens. And we'll just pray for you over here that, you know, God will help you out through it. Is that love? That's stupidity as far as I'm concerned. That's just ignorance gone to seed. You see what I'm saying, church? It's time for the church to know what is our dominion, what is our authority, because it's based only upon the Word of God. It's not you personally. You don't personally have the right, but the Word of God is true. The Word of God is real. God is real, and what God has set down and established, it's so. And a person can come to me right now and sit here and say, but Robert, understand that's what you believe, but the rest of the world, they don't believe in God, so therefore, why should you subject them unto God? Because I love them and I know what's right. And he said, man, that's an arrogant place to be. It's not arrogance, it's wisdom. It's about love. It's about mercy. Like saying, folks. And I want to tell you something right now. There is a spirit of stupid released on the face of the United States. And that is the only thing I know how to define it as. It's a spirit of stupid. And it's just rampant in the ignorance of people giving concessions. A good, for instance, the inauguration of President Obama, a pastor had to step out because he'd preached a message against homosexuality, so they had to take him out so he couldn't say the blessing. And I say, well, where did our freedom of speech go? Why do we? And I'll tell you why. Because you don't make people comfortable. And then they turn around, well, who do you think you are? You know, you're so perfect? No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I got enough sense to know what's right. Until we start to exercise the dominion God has given us through prayer, but also through the exercise of who we are in life, you're going to fail. Can you believe a policeman sitting on the side of the road saying, oh, that car was speeding, but gosh, I hate to stop it, because when I stop that person, they're going to feel so uncomfortable. And then, you know, they're going to be mad, and they might, what if they say an ugly thing to me and call me bad names, and you know, they might call me the fuzz, and I don't like that word, and it might hurt my feelings. And so I'm just going to sit here and let them go on by. You know, the police chief would say, what are you doing? You're a police officer. Get out there and do what you're hired to do. Well, I just hate to make people feel bad. Well, you're in the wrong business. I broke the law the other day and got caught. I was speeding. Heaven to Betsy. It wouldn't have been so bad if I'd have known I was doing it. But it was one of those times when you really feel stupid. You're like, what? I was speeding, you know? And the officer was so nice. He was really nice. Talked about my truck, how much he liked my truck. Wanted to know what kind of an exhaust system I had on it. Talked all about the chip in the truck and how many miles a gallon I was getting, all that. I didn't realize the whole time he was writing me a ticket. I thought, isn't this guy nice? Next thing I know, boom, bada bing, here it is. I'm like, wow, I'd have been uglier. No. But you see the point I'm trying to see here? I'm trying to say here? If a police officer acted like that, I don't want to say anything to him because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, then he wouldn't be able to do his job. You as a Christian, if you're going to hurt somebody's feelings by telling them, stop, don't do that, don't go down that road, and you're scared it's going to hurt their feelings, well, listen, you may need to hurt their feelings because love says, stand up there and say, don't. Stop. Right? And you doing that is taking dominion as a Christian. Are y'all with me? Okay. God said he gave you dominion. In other words, we're not ruled by the dogs. Dogs don't rule us. In the kingdom of God, man rules. All right? And in the kingdom of God, God's word rules. All right? Go to Matthew chapter 28. I'm trying to get this across to you about your dominion so you can understand this. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. This is after the resurrection, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much does he have? Does that mean in hell too? Does that mean he rules supreme? That means every devil is subject to him. Every demon is subject to him. Everything from the pit of hell, everything whatever has got to be subject to Jesus, right? He's in all authority. Go therefore. Okay? He issued you an order. So the order that he issued you is called delegated authority. He's got all authority, and now he has delegated authority to you. Back to my police officer. If the police officer was sitting on the side of the road and saw somebody speeding, said, oh gosh, you were speeding, I caught him. You know, they're doing 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. And then he called his police chief and said, sir, I've observed a car that, you know, was speeding here. And it was, we went 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. And can you come do something about it? I'm going to have a really good point here, so get this one. Yes, sir. I saw them go by. No, I'm not following them because I don't really know what to do. And I'm just sitting here. I see them going down the road. Yeah, they're still speeding, but can you come and stop them? The police chief would say, why have I hired you? What are you doing? You go stop them. Oh, well, sir, I don't want to go stop them because, man, I mean, what if they get, you know, they say something ugly to me, hurt my feelings. So, okay, let's talk about prayer for a minute. So there's something going on in your life, and you say, Jesus, I need you to help me here. Can you take care of this situation? Can you go do it? Can you? You know, there's a bad man. There's a bad situation. There's a mountain in front of me. There's something that's bothering me, and I need you to do this. Jesus, can you take care of it? Now, wait a minute. He said, but that all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. Wait a minute. He's delegated authority to you. He's delegated authority to you as a Christian to walk on the face of this earth and subdue the things, the obstacles, and the mountains that try to come against you, that you stand up and you say something to it. You say, me? Who am I? You're the one in charge of your life. That's who you are. You see, the world doesn't want to take personal responsibility for anything now. Anything goes wrong in anybody's life, they always point, it's his fault. I mean, down to the devil made me do it. No one wants to take personal responsibility for their lives. It's the government's fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. It's the rich white guy's fault. It's the poor black guy's fault. It's the, you know, the red man's fault. They're blaming it on everybody. But nobody wants to take responsibility for their own lives. And I'm telling you what, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and I have delegated you the authority. Now you go do it. I'm here. The authority ultimately comes from me. I'm backing you up. You're not God, but I've delegated you to go in my stead. Looky here. Go to Mark chapter 11. Let me show you this. Am I freaking you out this morning? Mark chapter 11, verse 20. We'll start. This is when Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he had this issue with a fig tree because he went over there. It had leaves on it, and the tree should have had fruit. And so he went over there to get, he was hungry, wanted to eat figs. That's why I like figs so much. Fig preserves are my favorite. Just wanted to throw that out there in case. I like Fig Newtons. Figs and fig preserves. Man, I was thinking all night long about tortilla filled with figs. I've tried to control myself better. I'm getting off here. Make me sure I get back over here in a minute, church. But now I'm hungry. Used to buy fresh tortillas and then warm them on the griddle and get them just right. And then put some butter first and then peanut butter. You know, and where it would melt. And then get them fig preserves out and put it on there. Ooh, roll it up, it'd go out the back end, get all over my hands. It's like a dog eating it. It's terrible. It's terrible. Have it everywhere. I didn't care. Just lick my hands. Like, this is disgusting. My wife would say, you're terrible. What are you doing? I said, oh, I can't help it. It's like a cocaine addict, man. Get that one done. I don't even wash my hands. Get another one. Put it on there, you know. Thank God for self-control, and I finally gotten in control. Hadn't had one in years, but yesterday, that's what I thought about. Verse 20, Mark chapter 11, verse 20. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots, because Jesus went over there to get the, see if there was fruit on it. There wasn't any fruit, and the Bible said he cursed it. And Peter, remembering, said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you that whoever, okay, who falls under the category of whoever? Wouldn't that include us all as whoever? Whether you're Jews or Greeks or Gentiles or whatever, right? It would fall under whoever is whoever. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will not be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus is trying to teach the disciples about their delegated authority and what they have the rights to do. You see, Isaiah 53 says that Jesus died on the cross, by his stripes you were healed. So that means when sickness is coming upon you, you have the right to stand up and look at the mountain of sickness and say, ho, ho, buddy, stop right there. You ain't coming upon me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. So, well, that's crazy. Then get sick. I know that what I'm teaching may be shocking to you, but I don't know why, because it's just what the Bible says and teaches. You have to take responsibility for your life. You have to stand up and say no. You have to stand up and pray over your life, your businesses, your children. You have to pray over your marriage. You have to pray over your crops. You have to pray over everything that God has put you in charge of. Now, you don't have the delegated dominion right to come over there and meddle in my life unless I ask you to. But in your life, in your kingdom, in your dominion of what is yours, you say, well, what do you mean my kingdom? Your family, your business, your house, your dreams. That's your dominion. That's your castle. That is the reign of Richards. It's mine. And no devil in hell nor creeps upon this earth has the right to come in and take it. Because he gave me dominion and put me in subjection over it. But if I just fall back and call the chief, chief, I don't know what to do. Please come do something, chief. He says, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to rebuke it. Get rid of it. Y'all all looking at me funny. I read a book years ago after I'd first gotten saved by a man named Smith Wigglesworth, and he was a great preacher in the turn of the century, and he said he was standing at a bus stop one day, and there was a woman. She was a rather large woman, and she was standing there, and a little dog came. It was her little dog. Came to the bus stop with her, and she said to the dog, you know, whatever his name was, we'll call it Fifi. I don't remember what it was. Fifi, go home. And the little dog just backed up a couple of steps and just came back. And he's just sitting there, standing there watching the situation. He said, Fifi, go home. And the little dog backed up a couple of steps and then just came back up to her. And she said, Fifi, I said, go home. And she stomped her feet. And that little dog just took off. And he said, right there, the revelation came to him. He said, my God, that's what you've been trying to teach us. That if we'd stand up and take authority, stomp our foot and holler real loud, the devil's got to go. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. Christians have spent so much time asking God to do something for them that he's already delegated you the authority to do. But you won't take responsibility and you won't take charge of it and you won't get hold of it and you won't pray it and you won't speak God's word out of your mouth. You won't do what that book's teaching you there. Let loose it over your life and loose it over your family. Say, no, this is the way it's going to go down. When I first learned this, I'll never forget. I want to tell y'all something. This is a, believe me or believe I'm crazy. It don't make any difference to me because I know I'm right. My children were young when we first were saved. And I would take them and then pray over them. But there's always blasted ears, nose, and throat problems, right? Sore throats and ear infections and, you know, this kind of stuff that's just in small children anyway. And I was broke and didn't have money to really go spending money. And I was spending money on medicine and stuff like that. I said, this is ridiculous. The Bible says right here that you've called there to be healing in our lives. And that's ridiculous, Lord. And I don't understand. I'm not walking in. Would you teach me? And I remember just spending months and just asking the Lord to teach me and show me and reading the word and trying to get revelations of this and finding preachers and reading books and just trying to gather this and understand what Jesus had bought me on the cross. And so I got over the kids and I first started praying prayers over them like, Lord, I just thank you that, you know, you're going to heal them. And I just thank you that you're with them. And then it finally got down to where, as I learned more, I was like, okay, devil, let me tell you something. I felt like I would walk into my room and I grab hold of the devil by the collar, drag him down and say, look here, buddy, These are my kids. You ain't touching my kids. I'm telling you what, right now, you're going to have to leave them alone. You better not be messing with them. I mean, I started getting vicious. Of course, that could be in my nature, okay? I started walking up and outside the porch of my house, declaring out loud what God's word said about my life. Not walking up and down the porch saying, oh, God, I think you're going to make me rich and, you know, taller and handsome and thinner, and I'm going to, you know, get to be the big guy, big shot in the center of attention. No, no, no. I'm talking about praying, God, your word says that you will prosper me. I am broke. I don't have any dollars in this natural, but if you said I'm prospered, I'm prospered. I command prosperity to come from me, from the north, the south, the east, and the west under my hands. You say, well, that's just crazy. Is it? I started walking saying, Lord, I think you're teaching me. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to walk in honesty. I'm going to walk in integrity. I'm going to love my wife, love my family. Lord, I want to walk through this life and be an example. That's what the Bible says. What I started saying out of my mouth. Did I feel like it? No. Was I prospering instantaneously? No. Did a bucket of gold coins fall out of the back of my yard? No. But I started making that the confession and profession of faith. I started getting my wife. We'd pray together. We'd speak over there. I was so broke in those days, I had one pair of gray pants that I could wear to church. And I would go into the closet. We had this big closet, and there was Laura's couple of clothes over on one side and my gray pair of pants that hung up there. I didn't have any money to buy another pair of pants. And I'd walk in there, and I'd stop like this, and I'd say, wow, look how blessed I am. God, I just thank you that you provide everything I need. Lord, you just have so much, you've blessed me with all the clothes that I ever could need and use in life. God, I think you're just prospering me. You're prospering me. You know, Lord, I think I'll wear this gray pair of pants this morning. Get them off. Put them on. You say, well, you're insane. No, folks, I'm telling you what. You can sit around all day long all you want to and listen to the voice of doubt and unbelief. You can sit around all day long and listen to the voice of, oh, woe is me. Or the yabbit voice, or the, you know, we're never going to make it voice, or the what if voice. You can listen to all that stuff all day long, or you can get hold of the word of God and take charge of your life. Grab the dominion that Jesus has got for you and begin to speak to fig trees. See, that fig tree, the reason why he spoke to it, because it was not producing fruit. And it was supposed to be producing fruit. Right? And it was not. And he didn't want non-producing fruit trees on his earth. So he spoke to it, and it withered and died. I don't want non-producing trees in my life. I don't want a big, bushy tomato plant that don't give me no tomatoes. Why am I watering and fertilizing it? Neither do I want something in my life, in my personality, in my emotion, or in my whatever that is in me that's just taking up all my time. Oh, I can listen to that little voice, that little woe is me. I can let myself get discouraged. And then I have to rise up and say, no, wait a minute, what in the heck does the Word of God say? I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to put myself out there. You know, and just be trying to push the envelope, we'll say. But I do not want to not walk in what God has got for me. Prime example. 1991, we were in the Ukraine, and we had decided this that we would take medicine over there. So we had, as the church had bought these boxes of medicine, and let's see, there was three guys. We had six boxes, and they were pretty good sized boxes. They were, like maybe a foot by 6 foot long, and it was all packed full of medicine. And I strapped these handles around them, made handles on them, so you could just reach down and carry two of them. And so, man, I'd been praying over this, man. I think, you know, because you can't do that. You couldn't do what we were doing. You couldn't just walk into the country with boxes of medicine. So I thought, they'll overlook it. I'll bribe somebody. I'll get us in there. Ain't no big deal. And so we just went in there. And so when we got there and they dropped it, I was a little intimidated because everybody was standing around with an AK-47. I'm like, wow, I wonder if we could get shot. And, of course, nobody spoke English or anything. We're just standing around there saying, okay, so I told the guys, I said, look, just act natural. Of course, we stuck out and everybody was looking at us like, who are these guys? I said, just act natural and just kind of mill around like you can't find your bags and let's let the crowd get up there And then maybe the guys will get frustrated because there's so many people in the crowd. And then they won't notice us and we'll just slip on through. Sound like an idea. Because we were supposed to meet this individual who was supposed to give us the paper that gave us the authority to take it through. And he wasn't there. So we milled around till there was nobody left. Everybody had gone through. Everybody was looking at us. And I was like, all right, guys, let's pick them up and go for it. And so we picked them up. And I remember my heart just beating, racing. Get up there, set those boxes down. Said, howdy, how you doing? Pulled out my passport, put her down. I said, I'm from Texas. Guy didn't say nothing. Looked at my passport. Said to me in broken English, what's in the box? I said, oh, I thought I went for the second step, which is talk as fast as you can with as big a Texas draw as you possibly can have and try to overwhelm them with words. Because I figured he couldn't speak good English, and so he'd get intimidated. Way I'd go. So I said, oh, this is medicine we brought from, and I'm just ripping it off here, you know. And he just looks at me, just coldest, deadest stare I've ever seen. Looks at me and says, you cannot bring it in. And I said, no, really. I mean, there's a guy coming. He's going to be here in a minute. This medicine is going to there. And I said, you know, you don't want, this is going to children, help children here in your own country, you know. And so he says, no. And so he pointed to this guy, and this guy came over to pick up the bag. And, you know, being the cowboy that I am, I thought, I just reached up there and put my foot on the bag. And I said, hold on now, you're not going to do that. And they snapped all those bolts on those AK-47s and let them go. And I said, I can take that box or two. Find me. See, I'm saying you can't get yourself out there sometimes unless God's with you, because you're going to get yourself out there, you're going to get shot. You can't push the envelope, you know, and get out there too far. But I stopped and I said, you know, God, that's not right. As soon as they took those boxes out, they took them to this door, and I said, you know, that's not right. And I stood right there in the middle of that customs area there, and I said, you know, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. I said, no devil in hell is stealing anything from me. Said it just like that. About that time, through the door comes a guy with my piece of paper. I said, boy, you're late. So the boxes just went through there. He showed it to the guy. They said it. We went through there. But by then, the black market guys had already got hold of it. So we chased down there. I said, I'm not going to. No devil in hell is going to steal it from me. No devil in hell. I just kept saying out of my mouth, no devil in hell is stealing from me. Went out the doors. Found them right before they loaded it on the truck. Now I was bold as a lion. They didn't have an AK-47. I stepped on those boxes and said, these are my boxes. The guy said, no, yet. I said, they're mine. I'm telling you, they're mine. They're going to go help kids. They're going to help save people's lives, and you ain't taking them, selling them on the black market. Yet. And I told the interpreter that was with me, I said, you tell him this just like this. I said, you tell him that he is going to burn in the fires of hell if he doesn't get his hands off those boxes. Those kids are going to need this. I just painted the worst picture in the world. Poor guy, you know. And in a minute, this guy, you could just see it. Just the Spirit of God came on him, and he got convicted. All I'm saying to you, church, the end of the story is I got the boxes, and we went to the city, and we delivered them. I'm telling you, it was a fight, though. And in your life, there's the enemy wants to steal from you. He wants to take it from you. And as long as you let them take it, they will keep stealing from you. But until you can rise up and know what your dominion and your authority is by the word of God and say, no, you're not doing that, it is not going to stop. And you may have to get forceful, and you may have to fight it. You may have to get all the way down the hallway, and you may have to go outside and fight for it. Because what the devil is looking for is, do you believe it or not? If you don't really believe it, he knows it, and he'll keep stealing from you. And what America has done is Christians really haven't believed it. And we've got caught up in the muddledy muck of the world and political correctness. And we have yielded ourselves and given up our rights. And I say it's time for Christians to stand up and say, no, no more. It's the end of it. We put up with this enough. We try to be nice long enough. Boy, you're going to get some severe hurt now if you don't stop. Now, next week we'll go on. I'll show you what the Word of God says. That book, Praying the Word book, is full of the Word, full of prayers, full of rights that are yours. Okay? Full of rights that are yours. Now, I want to tell y'all something. If your life is going to go like my life did, then I can tell you at the first few days, if you've never prayed like this before, you've never walked like this before, the first few days, the first few weeks, possibly even the first few months, it's going to take you a little while to get adjusted. You're going to lose some battles. But you know what? You're going to win some too. See, I like to win. You may not think that, but I do. We play cards with my wife. We play, games or whatever. Like, I like to win. And if I can figure out a way to cheat to win, I'll do it. To me, there's no Marcus of Queensbury rules. I just want to win. But she's slick. She's good. She puts a hurt on me. And I have to work myself. I mean, we're sitting there. It's my lovely wife, the woman I love with all of my heart. And I have to just, it burns me up. I don't like to lose. And I've noticed, and not always, but what I've noticed is she'll put a hurt on me first couple of games, but I stick with it. And if I don't win, the best 2 out of 3, then it's 5 out of 7. And after a while, we keep playing, odds go for me. And I may be the dark horse that comes out of the corner and wins. And then victory's mine. And it's sweet. I fight the same way with the devil. If round one didn't go my way, there's always round two. If round two doesn't go my way, hey, I'm calling for round three. And I've been like that and fought through that my whole life. There are still rounds I'm making with him that I haven't really walked in the real revelation of the word yet. I haven't really got it going my way. There's other things that I can see going my way. It's a fight. It's a wrestle. But I like to fight. I like to win. So, the book is going to help you get started. You can look through there and you start seeing some pressure. Start looking at what's going on. Start taking authority in your life. Start taking responsibility for it and authority in your life. Get with your spouse. Start to pray. Start to speak over your house. Start to declare what God's word says over your house. Amen? You get knocked down, be a Rocky. Get up. Hello? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would. Look at the person beside you. Say, I always liked a good fight. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? Pastoral team. Church, if you're here today and you need anything, you need prayer, anything going on, we're here for you. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God with you. I believe in a God of miracles. Amen? Do not leave this building today if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not sure, if you don't know that you 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 know that if you died you're going to heaven, you're not sure, don't walk out those doors. Come up here and pray with these guys. Just tell them, I'm not sure, and let them pray with you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, are you sure? And if you're not, you need to be up here and pray at the end of service. You said, that's the strangest altar call I've ever heard. I just feel kind of strange today. But I know God is real. Amen? Amen. So church, listen to me. Grab hold of it. Take authority. Take dominion. Take responsibility. And beat the devil. Amen? Grab that person's hand beside you. Father, I just thank you today. I declare today in the name of Jesus that no devil in hell is going to defeat these men and women of God. I declare, Lord God, that we're going to be the men and the women, God, you called us to be. We're going to walk in all the authority you called us to walk in. We're going to take dominion over our lives. And I just declare right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that for miracle signs and wonders taking place. Where there's people been discouraged, I declare today that a spirit of encouragement comes upon them. Where, Lord, they have felt like they fought, but maybe they hadn't been using the right weapons. Lord, I thank you for giving them that big gun right now by the Holy Ghost that's going to get them through that situation they're going through. Giving them the wisdom and the understanding to be cunning and crafty with God's word to see victory come into their lives. And Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now bless them, Lord God. Bless them. Give us this week, Lord, to just be witnesses for you. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Go get them.